got a lot tied up inside. Got Jesus on your mind. And a boy that just won't fight. Baby, it's a grind. And this your bitter life. Nothing just won't do. The girl pleads, the woman needs a wedding ring. That bird won't sing.
Hello, this is Diane from Willow, Alaska, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Todd in Los Angeles, for another edition of This Conversation Rocks.
And this is the episode that I kind of want to call Steamrolled, but I also want to call it in which Todd talks Diane down from losing her shit.
And I can tell you the official title for search engine optimization purposes will end up being Nevada Caucus Results.
The titles are so boring, dude. We got to work on this.
Yes, but if you want people to find your stuff.
Yeah. God, always the practical one.
Right, yeah. Todd talks Diane off a cliff isn't going to get us any hits.
It made me laugh.
It's a great title. It's a great title. So yeah, this is a special Sunday edition of This Conversation Rocks.
Actually, it's always a Sunday edition, but today is a special Sunday edition.
Because it follows a special Saturday edition.
There you go, which followed a truncated Friday edition that we're going to get fixed.
Right.
Hey, that's 3 in 3 days.
I know, it's amazing. That's assuming we get this done today, but at any rate, this is going to be episode 7 for 2016.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
And keep in mind, like we've been solid now for 5 straight weeks, so we're just getting a lot of them in there.
Don't curse us, man. Don't curse us.
Oh, yeah, look what happened in the Bernie episode. I promise I'll get that fixed this week sometime and get it up by the end of the week.
It's all good.
So yeah, what happened yesterday? Let's get into it. What happened yesterday?
Well, should we talk about the Republicans or the Democrats first?
Let's talk about the Democrats, because nobody cares about the Republicans.
Oh, that's not true. I enjoy, actually, I think that it's going to be very influential, but enjoy is probably too strong a word.
Actually, we'll start off by talking about how the results were basically what was anticipated, right?
Right. I mean,
Clinton did win the Nevada caucus.
You called it. I did not.
You just wanted it to be the other way.
Yeah, I know.
Trump won in South Carolina, which surprised nobody.
Right, we both agreed.
Rubio came back into a second place position by like 0.1%.
Yeah, I have a lot to share about that.
Over Cruz. Jeb Bush finished 4th or 5th?
Bush finished 4th.
And so then who Kasich must have finished 5th.
He did. And then Carson, who told his supporters, this is just the beginning. Finished 6th. So the numbers were Trump 32.5, Rubio 22.5, Cruz 22.3, Bush 7.8, Kasich 7.6. I think it's Kasich, though, isn't it?
It's Kasich, yeah.
And Carson 7.2.
Carson got that many?
Yeah, wow. So the argument that Rubio is making, which we'll get into this a little more, I'm sure, is that if you basically took the Bush, Kasich, and Carson numbers and rolled them all up and put them in his campaign, he won.
Sure, and if you took all those everybody's numbers and gave them to me, I'm the nominee.
If it makes you feel any better, I'd vote for you.
Well, thank you.
I would cross party lines, and I would vote for you over Hillary Clinton. Although, if it was you and Sanders, I'd be struggling. I'd have some loyalty issues there.
I gotta say, if it was me and Sanders, the country would be in a whole lot of worse. They didn't choose Bernie.
If it was
okay,
you,
I'm just saying, right?
If it you was know? You and Sanders, you'd vote for Sanders.
Honestly, if it was me and anybody, you really got to think about the anybody.
I don't know if it's you and Trump, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do have some good qualities and everything. And honestly, I'm as qualified to be president as Trump is.
You are more qualified to be president than Trump.
Having never held a single elected office in my life, having accomplished absolutely nothing in the world of diplomacy, world relations, military negotiations, leadership of the military. I may have them on the fact that I was enlisted once in the military.
Yes, and on the fact that you are much more circumspect, generally speaking.
Atterbury, 2016.
It's not too late. If Bloomberg is thinking about an independent run, so can you.
The difference between me and Michael Bloomberg is about several $1 billion. But, you know, other than that, you're right. I'm right there. You know? If I jump in tomorrow, there's still a chance.
There's still time. And you would do a great job appointing a Supreme Court justice.
This is true.
All right. We are once again avoiding the clown car.
Well, I mean, so that's the result. Again, we're still, you know, the results of the primary. There's no real surprise there. Cruz was expected to finish decently, being a strong evangelical state. The fact that he doesn't win strong evangelical states, though, is indicative of the fact that Cruz probably can't get through this.
Well, so I have a good friend who is very Republican, very evangelical. I'm sure despite the fact that we are friends, she's convinced I'm going to be in hell. So she'll be waving to me from the clouds. She said last night to my plea on Facebook that the Republicans please not stick us with Trump, that she too is very frightened that Trump may be the nominee. I didn't ask her about her thoughts about Cruz. I suspect she's probably a Cruz supporter.
Well, I don't know who else you would support if you're truly an evangelical in this race.
And she truly is. So, I mean, you could support Carson, but it's not going to get you anywhere. So the thing that was interesting to me about South Carolina that I didn't know is that it's a winner-take-all state. So Trump walked away with all 50 delegates.
Ooh, I did not notice that. I hadn't gotten to looking at the numbers on
yeah.
that. Well.
So that's significant.
Oh, yeah, that goes to something we can talk about in Act 2. This great article I found on 538 talking about Cruz's number problem. That is the main thrust of it, is that the evangelical states in which he'll do well are winner-take-all states, and if he doesn't win them...
He's in trouble.
He's troubled.
Yeah, and South Carolina, by all accounts, is a very evangelical state, so he just walked away with a zilch.
Thanks for playing. So everybody there got nothing out of that deal.
Pretty much.
I bet all those candidates felt really good after that.
You know, Marco Rubio felt great.
With getting zero?
Yeah.
I mean, because the thing is that getting zero is still the same as getting zero.
But I've got to tell you, man.
I don't care how well you did getting the zero. He still got the zero.
He is the best at managing second and third place finishes. He is so good at managing up. I have to give him that.
I was watching Samantha Bee's new show, Full Frontal, on TBS.
I gotta watch that.
I saw the pilot. I finally saw the pilot this morning. It was pretty funny. But there was this thing with Rubio where, she's all, yep, and Marco was the first one to exploit his children for publicity, right? And there's, like, one of his young sons, is on stage with him, and he's kind of chit-chatting with him and stuff. And then Samantha's all, see, finally, Marco has found a way to look like the big boy in the room.
Although, and I will say that there was some value to this, there was some validity to this. I was watching the Young Turks coverage of the caucus and the primary, and I also flipped over to MSNBC for a little bit. Yes, I know, I'm still making myself sick by watching MSNBC. And they did point out that with Nikki Haley and Marco Rubio standing on the same stage together, they do look like the future. They're both young, they're both mixed race. They look like the future. I hope they're not.
Of something that we can't describe.
Right. But, you know, they certainly, if you just look at them and don't listen to them, have a broader appeal than, say, Lindsey Graham, who introduced Jeb Bush when he gave his concession speech.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, I mean, that is part of the problem that Bush definitely had, is that, like, the establishment did not get behind him in a meaningful way, and those that did are people like Lindsey Graham.
Exactly.
You know, nobody cares what Lindsey Graham thinks.
So since we're staying in the clown car, careening off the road, and it sounds like you've got something you want to share, I just have a brief summary of an article that was on Huffington Post this morning, and it was called The Death of the Moderate GOP. Actually, I don't think that was the title. I think that was kind of a summary of what it was about. But
they're just now getting to that point?
They're just now getting there. We called it yesterday. HuffPo published it today. They're obviously listening to the podcast.
Of course they are. Where else are they going?
But, you know, it does make the point that Rubio is not a moderate. There are people who are saying he's the only hope, he's the only moderate in the race, kind of conveniently forgetting that Kasich truly is a moderate. Well,
right.
Kind of, except when you talk to him about unions. Anyway, they do point out that Rubio is parroting conservative, extreme right ideas. He says that he will rescind the executive action that protects all dreamers from deportation on day one of his presidency.
Yeah.
He too is saying that there should be huge tax cuts for the rich. He too is saying that the Affordable Care Act should be overturned, although I don't know what kind of answer he has in response. And he also opposes marriage equality. So he is loosely masquerading as a moderate, but he's really not. He's just as bad as Trump and Cruz.
No, it's insane to call him a moderate.
Oh, and I did see also that Mitt Romney is endorsing him, which I'm not sure is an endorsement you really want to tout.
Hey, you know, you got to get that 1%er somewhere.
I did like the language that they used in the HuffPo article, again, because this goes back to supporting my narrative, but they called Rubio an ideological shapeshifter. They called Trump a nativist bomb thrower. And they called Cruz a true believing conservative.
Okay.
So it was a good, quick, brief read on the outcome of South Carolina and I think what it truly means for the Republican Party.
Well, the Republicans need to stop acting like they have a moderate wing left.
Right, they don't. At least not represented in the presidential race. There may still be moderate Republicans out there, but they certainly are not represented by any of the candidates that remain in the race, except maybe in some aspects, John Kasich.
Right. I mean, again, as always, it's hard to feel sympathy for them. They brought this on themselves. You know, they really need to consider what they're going to do next if they want to stay viable.
But there is a part of me that is getting scared that not only are they bringing it on themselves, they're going to bring it to us. I hope I'm wrong.
The good news is that in every poll, Bernie trumps Trump. And that was kind of poorly stated, but
it works. No, yes. In every poll, Bernie wins when he is lined up against the current Republican field. That is not true of Hillary Clinton.
Right, so let's talk about what happened in Nevada.
All right. I'm good with that.
And to be clear, as expected, she did win Nevada. Now, she has touted this as a huge victory somehow, but it's not, and I'll tell you, and we'll get into why it's not. The results, 8:40 last night, from 2016 Election Central, which is a nonpartisan site. Update at 9:40 p.m. Eastern last night. Had Hillary with 52.6 and Sanders with 47.4. Okay, so yeah, she won. But this is not a winner-take-all state.
Right.
She got 22 delegates out of it. He got 15. And then there were 4 uncommitted delegates as well.
Now, wait a minute. Where did you come up with 22? Because I looked this morning, and the percentages were a little different, but just by point, like 0.2. But they gave Clinton 19 delegates and Sanders 15. And I can honestly not tell you what website I was at.
Is the thing, is that this is not going to be finalized probably until sometime tonight or tomorrow morning. But the point being is that Sanders didn't lose.
Well, and when you look at the national delegate count, based on the most current stuff that I looked at, which was this morning, they are tied 51-51 if you're looking just at delegates from caucuses and primaries.
Yeah, not superdelegates.
Right. Superdelegates, as we talked about yesterday, are still hugely in the Hillary Clinton court. She's something like 449 to his 19.
Right, but I did see an article from the Washington Post. In fact, I posted a link to it on yesterday's episode. Washington Post, you know, is laying out this very convincing argument why if Bernie can fight this down to the wire, it will not be acceptable for the superdelegates to just blindly follow Hillary.
And he says that he is in it until the convention.
Sure, everybody would say that at this moment.
I think there's truth to that, though, and maybe it's crazy people like me who are still going to send the campaign dribs and drabs as they can afford to, but I really do think he's in it until the convention.
Right, and because of that, we yesterday posted a link to MoveOn.org petition. It is a petition to urge all the superdelegates to hold their votes until the will of the people is known.
Exactly.
To follow the will of the people and not the will of the apparatus.
That's right.
So, go to our website, thisconversationrocks.com, or go to MoveOn.org, which is an easier thing to type in. Either way, please hit that petition. Sign up on that. Add your name to that. I did that last night myself. Take you about 20 seconds. Yeah, let's do this. Let's get this petition up and running.
And watch for the petitions that are supposedly coming to urge your individual state superdelegates to vote with the people rather than with the party apparatus. I haven't seen any specific ones yet, but they're supposedly coming. I would also encourage people to write to their senators. Their senators are superdelegates.
Excellent.
They need to talk to them about hearing the nomination of a Supreme Court justice as well. So you could kill two birds with one letter or email. Letters are more effective.
Letters are much more effective, which means we probably should do something a little bit more than just plug this stuff. So we'll work on something this week.
Maybe do some kind of form letter for people to download.
Right, along with, you know, who to send it to.
That's a good idea. Mm. We can do a link to who people's Congress people are. So it sounds like you may have posted to the Washington Post article that I looked at, but one of the things that they pointed out was that, yes, black voters did favor Hillary Clinton dramatically, 76% to 22%, but Bernie was actually up with Latino voters by 8%. So her quote-unquote firewall may not be as strong as her campaign is hoping that it is.
Yeah, I would doubt that for a minute. You know that this contest for the Democrats is not over by a long shot.
Well, and there's also a hashtag that's been trending that I've been watching. I am not her firewall, and it's been really powerful. There have been people really talking about because I'm black, because I'm Latino, does not mean that my vote is guaranteed to be a Clinton vote.
Right, or because I'm a Democrat, or because I'm a thinking human being,
or because I'm a woman.
Right. Or because I live in America. The thing with the Clinton thing is that it is all about, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's my turn because I'm a Clinton, and it's my turn because I'm a woman.
Right. You know, and honestly, you don't have to put up with that shit.
Yep. So, you know, another thing that I want to say is voter turnout, guys, because the turnout was low. And when the turnout is lower in Democratic primaries and caucuses, it favors the Clinton machine.
Sure, but let's talk about this for a second, right? Because the real story, and we probably should have led with this, right? But the real story in the Democratic caucus yesterday is that 3 weeks ago, Bernie is polling at 9%.
And that is where you talked me off the ledge last night.
Yeah, Bernie had 9% 3 weeks ago. He wasn't even contending, right?
And now he lost by 5%.
No, he lost by 2.5%.
2.5%? No, I've got 52-47. That's 5%.
No, because only you needed to be 50% of those people to vote the other way.
Ah, good point. Good point. I wasn't thinking about it that way.
I hate that. People do it that way. The news media always does it that way. Oh, it was a 5-point margin of victory. Well, yes, he did win by 5 points, but you only needed 2.5 of those points to turn it around.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
you know, numbers, how do they work?
I am justly schooled.
But this is the whole thing, right, is that we have to pay attention to these things and keep in mind what the numbers are really telling us. And the numbers are really telling us that Bernie went from 9 to 47.5.
Right. We have to pay attention to the surge.
And he was within 2.5% of actually winning the thing.
Yeah.
And these are all really important stories that, of course, the Clinton campaign doesn't want to say it that way. They want to say 5-point margin of victory, see, done, over. Right? We're kicking his ass. They want to say that we're projected to win every place else. And, well, yeah, you still, at this moment, you are, but you were projected to win by a landslide 3 weeks ago.
Okay, but I was looking at Real Clear Politics, and they said on Super Tuesday, yes, Clinton does have an advantage in Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Arkansas, and Virginia, but Sanders has the advantage in Colorado, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oklahoma, and Vermont. So, you know, that's a pretty even split, not in terms of delegate count. I didn't look up the delegate count for each of those states, but that's 5-5.
Right, and it's important to see all of this, right? See the narrative, the big narratives, and not just these easy narratives.
Right.
Which I think, is there anything else left to say about Nevada or South Carolina?
You know, if we're going to call it, I mean, obviously we're both going to call it for Clinton in South Carolina. At least
no.
I think we are. Oh, you mean South Carolina for the Republicans.
Right, yeah, we haven't talked
sorry,
about
sorry, election. Sorry. Well, we kind of briefly mentioned, but didn't go into it, Jeb Bush did drop out.
Right, we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast.
Okay, very good. The only other thing I want to say is that Trump was on Meet the Press this morning, and I have to actually give some kudos to Chuck Todd, because usually they just bend over and let whoever the candidate is, unless it's Bernie Sanders, have his way with them on MSNBC. But today Chuck Todd actually did point out that Trump had some pretty big flip-flops. In the past week, he has said, I fully support Planned Parenthood except the abortion thing. But then in another speech, he would say, I'm going to defund Planned Parenthood. He has been all over the map about whether or not he supported George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq. He's been a little more solid in his support of Bush 1 and his invasion of Iraq, but he says he didn't do it the way that it should have been done, which I assume means take Saddam Hussein out then. He is going on and on and on about how they're going to overturn the Affordable Care Act, but there is no plan with which he wants to replace it. Chuck Todd actually pressed him for a plan, and he was like, whoa, just because people are poor doesn't mean they're going to die in the streets. That was his answer. So, you know,
also doesn't mean that apparently they have any hope of right. ever not being on the streets.
Right.
God, what an asshole.
So, you know, this is the guy who's the front runner right now in the Republican Party. He is all over the map, and when pressed for a plan, can't give us a plan, which doesn't surprise me, but I did want to point that out before we left South Carolina.
Yep. All right. So let's talk about what's coming up this week and these crazy election schedules that are making us nuts trying to keep our podcast current.
So it's basically a total reversal, right? The Democrats right. are going to go to South Carolina, and the Republicans are going to Nevada.
Right, but it's Nevada, because I have friends in Nevada. That's...
I know. I don't know why. It's an East Coast thing to say Nevada, and I don't know why I do it, because I'm not an East Coaster, but there you go.
Yeah, well, it's also...
Are you going to accuse me of being elitist?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to accuse Nevadans of being wrong. but anyway.
I felt my dander rise a little bit.
No. I personally have always thought that it should be Nevada. What do I know?
Okay, so Nevada.
Right. Nevada is the Republican caucus on February 23rd.
Which is Tuesday.
Tuesday. And on Saturday the 27th, we have the South Carolina Democratic primary.
Which is just crazy. I know. I don't understand why the schedule is so nuts, but okay.
So here's what we've got going for Saturday at this point. 538 has Hillary at a greater than 99% chance of winning.
I have to defer to Nate Silver in this case. I totally agree.
Right, but again, this is just talking about winning. This isn't talking about how it's going to break down.
Is it a winner-take-all state? Do you know?
No, I don't believe it is.
Because it was for the Republicans, but I don't think that holds true. Each party kind of makes up their own rule.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. And we probably should break down at some point every one of the states and which way they do it.
I'm looking it up.
You know, what kind of policy wonks we really are.
Hey, we're working on it, man. We're working on it.
But the breakdown right now shows on 538, Hillary's going to get about 65% of the vote, and Bernie's going to get about 31% of the vote. So that's the projected results.
Okay, so here we go. It looks like the answer to is South Carolina winner take all, the answer is yes and no. Boy, we've been all over the yes and no map, haven't we?
Yeah, yes for the Republicans, no for the Democrats.
They will follow the same proportional system as New Hampshire for the South Carolina race. So it looks like Clinton is set, if things hold true, to get 33 delegates, and Sanders will get 23 delegates.
Again, right now, it's perfectly acceptable for us.
Right. And the state's three superdelegates, DNC state leaders, pay attention, people, Boyd Brown, Donald Fowler, and Kay Koontz have already pledged their support to Clinton.
Of course.
So South Carolina is not winner-take-all. I'm assuming Nevada is winner-take-all for the Republicans.
I have no idea, actually.
I'm going to look that up, too. Thank God for the internet. It makes for easy podcasting, except when it doesn't.
And now, tap dance.
Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. Okay, the caucus in Nevada is much more straightforward in terms of how many delegates go to each candidate. This is from Bustle.com, which I don't know how reliable it is, but it's actually had some good articles. So if anybody's got feedback about that as a source, that'd be great. So there are a total of 30 delegates at stake for the GOP in Nevada, and they are proportionally rewarded to each candidate as long as they get a qualifying 3.3% of the vote. So both upcoming races, South Carolina for the Dems, Nevada for the Republicans, are proportional. So everybody walks away with something.
Good. Good, because Rubio shouldn't get zero for second again.
I don't know. Do you think it's going to be him? Well, yeah, it's going to be him in second, because I hate to sound like I'm buying into the mainstream media, but there is a large Latino population, although Cruz is Latino too. I don't know.
Nevada right now, 538 has Trump winning.
Sure.
78% to 84% of the time. Or no, I'm sorry, 64% to 78% of the time. Rubio is going to win 10% to 23% of the time. That's not the breakdown.
It's right. That's just what his chances are at being number one.
Right. So right now, yeah, Trump's 64% chance of winning. And with an expected outcome of about 35% for Trump, 26% for Rubio, 20% for Cruz, 7% for Kasich, 6% for Carson and Bush, who is still actually on the ballot, getting 3.5%.
Hey, so question, who's got the higher percentage of winning, Cruz or Rubio?
Rubio. Rubio, okay. Actually by 26% to 20%. So either a 6-point margin or by a 3% margin, depending on how you want to spin that.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying, and I think we're probably both in alignment here, but I'm going to say it. Hillary Clinton obviously wins South Carolina, although her firewall shrinks. Mm-hmm. Trump, I think casinos, I think big money, I think he's going to win Nevada. I think Nate Silver is right. And I do think it's going to be Rubio. There probably are not enough conservative Christians in Nevada to propel Cruz forward. You know, it is the den of iniquity.
Yeah, but, you know, you'd be surprised. It's actually quite a conservative state and heavily Mormon population.
Oh, okay.
Very, very
conservative.
Very conservative state outside of Las Vegas and Reno.
Mitt Romney just endorsed Rubio, so I'm not saying that he dictates the Mormon vote, but
yeah,
there
may be something to that. You know, nobody ever talked about it, but I'm pretty sure that there was a hardcore group of Mormons 4 years ago going, hey, just because you're a Mormon doesn't mean you get my vote because I am. You know?
I think there is probably very, very real truth to that.
All right, so that's it, right? Hey, the good news is now we don't actually have to do another podcast until next Sunday. So we'll cover off both results next Sunday.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking that maybe we need to do a one-off, because this whole election thing, man.
Well, we could talk about that.
So, where else did you want to go with the conversation today?
Just going to wrap this up with Jeb Bush deciding that after his inability to get any clapping, or to get the clap, something like that, he decided last night to withdraw, and absolutely nobody cared.
I will say, and I said it to you, and maybe I even said it earlier in this podcast, it all blurs sometimes, but I have to say he was more gracious than just about anyone in the Republican race has been thus far. I mean, I never thought I would say it about a Bush, but he was very gracious when he got out of the race last night. He did kind of make a creepy statement that I think was supposed to be sweet, and I think he misspoke himself a little bit. He was talking about, hey, I get to go to bed with my best friend tonight, which I think was saying, I love my wife and she'll always support me, but it just came off kind of awkward, which I think is Bush's problem.
isn't everything to do with romance in that group of candidates, isn't it all just awkward?
I know, I mean, visualizing Ted Cruz eating his wife's face.
Right, or trying to hug his daughter.
Yeah.
Or Marco Rubio's kids kind of like, okay, go away, Dad.
You know, Once again, the only candidate who is authentic is Bernie Sanders.
Right.
The more I learn about his wife, the more impressed I am. She's a phenomenal person in her own right.
Excellent.
I mean, there have totally been days where I've been like, okay, how would Jane Sanders react? Because I'm having a tough time right now.
Because, you know, we do need a class act as a first lady, too.
Absolutely.
Or so as a first husband when that happens.
I'm going to get a bracelet that says WW, let's see, what would JSD? What would Jane Sanders do?
People would be like, what, you can't spell? Christ with a C.
So, you know, people are already misunderstanding my death tattoo, which I think is pretty straightforward, so I wouldn't be surprised if I lost people with the Jane Sanders bracelet.
What are they misunderstanding?
I don't know. People are like, okay, so that's kind of cool looking, but now you have to explain it to me. I'm like, you get what anyone gets. You get a lifetime. You make the most of your lifetime, however long or short it is. People don't get it. They're obviously not Neil Gaiman fans.
It's a philosophical point, right?
There you go.
So I was gonna summarize this Jeb Bush's decline and fall.
Yeah, please do.
But the real key thing is the longer Bush ran, the less Republicans liked him. 3-week rolling average net favorability with Republicans starting in July of last year, where he was +30, all the way to February of this year, where he's +5.
So I think that leads to some conversation about Hillary Clinton, actually. You know, electability, favorability. You know, I don't like the fact that we live in a time where everybody thinks that they need to have a beer with the presidential candidate or the president, but she has really high negative ratings.
And which she's brought on herself, because
she has.
Her basic stance is, you should elect me because it's my turn to be elected.
Absolutely.
Is annoying the shit out of most of us.
Yes.
And I gotta say that it matters, because we're gonna need somebody who can close this deal, right?
Right. Just having someone who is not Donald Trump doesn't count.
No, isn't gonna get it done for
us. Completely.
So, next week, you know, see how things go next week, right? Doing okay, but the big news here is that we're doing just fine. Considering that Bernie, 6 months ago, had nothing, literally nothing going for him.
Sure. Except me.
True. Very true. But, you know, we're doing okay. We are doing just fine. As long as people continue to get out and vote, it's potentially going to work out.
And people need to get out in numbers. Big numbers.
Absolutely.
So I do have a fuck that guy.
Of course you do.
Yeah. So it's been a while since I've had a fuck that guy, but I was out feeding my horses and giving water to my sled dogs before we started recording today, and it was really warm and kind of raining a little bit. Now, mind you, it is February 21st. I am in Alaska. I'm actually in the heart of the Iditarod, the restart for the Iditarod, and it is 40.8 degrees today. 40.8. So my fuck that guy goes back to Jim Inhofe bringing a snowball to the floor of the United States Congress in February of last year to prove that climate change is not real.
Right.
He actually wrote a book called The Greatest Hoax, How the Global Warming Conspiracy Threatens Your Future.
Yep. And unfortunately, my dad read it.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, so all I have to say is fuck him, because it's 40.8 degrees in South Central Alaska. There are people driving across lakes, and their trucks are crashing through the lakes. I mean, usually people use these roads as actual roadways in the winter, and it's just not cold enough here.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's
yeah. Nuts. So fuck that guy. Global warming is real. All you have to do is spend a spring in Alaska now.
Or summer in Southern California. We've been unseasonably warm, including a run a couple weeks ago in the 90s.
Oh my God.
You know, so.
But it's crazy. It's February, and my aunt is working in her garden in Washington State.
Right. Yeah, again, things that are not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, I think that brings us to the end of the special Sunday following the special Saturday episode, because it's all just special.
And I have another quote from Good Omens.
Excellent.
We should probably link to the Amazon write-up of Good Omens.
We could do that.
Because it's a really great book.
Excellent book.
Okay, so this
is... If you haven't read it, you have to read it. It is, like, a must-read.
It absolutely is. You know what? I think we should hold a contest. We should come up with some kind of contest, and whoever wins the contest gets a copy of Good Omens.
Okay, we'll just have to come up with a contest.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what that's going to be. Listeners, if you guys have an idea for a good contest, I will pony up the postage and the money to get a copy of Good Omens to you, because I think it's that important. This book is that important. Okay, so it was written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, and the quote is, "Human beings mostly aren't evil. They just get carried away by new ideas, like dressing up in jackboots and shooting people, or dressing up in white sheets and lynching people, or dressing up in tie-dye jeans and playing guitars at people. Offer people a new creed with a costume, and their hearts and minds will follow." I think that's apropos for this election.
All right, how are we going to do that? We're gonna have to work on how we can dress this up in a new costume.
Well, right now I think that our side is closer to dressing up in tie-dye jeans and playing guitars at people, and I think the other side is closer to dressing up in jackboots and shooting people.
Right.
So yeah. We have to make the guitars and the tie-dye jeans a little more exciting.
I think so. All right.
All right. So that, you think about a crazy contest. I'll think about a contest. Listeners, think about a contest. And on that note, now that I've talked over you.
Have a great week.
You have a great week, too.
All right.
All right. Take care. Cascades of my hometown. I'm
What is it about Birmingham? What is it about Buffalo that the hate-filled wanna build bunkers in your beautiful red earth? They wanna build them in our shiny white snow. And now I've drawn and closed the curtain, this little booth where the truth has no place to stand. And I am feeling, oh, so powerless in this stupid booth with this useless little lever in my hand. And outside, my city is bracing for the next killing thing, standing by the bridge and praying for the next doctor.